Heavenly Father, we do thank you for a Sunday to come, to start our week with praise and glory to you as it should be started. Dear Lord, we thank you for your holy gospel and your holy scriptures. Open them up to us, Lord, at this time now, and shed your light of understanding upon them for all of us and myself. And help me be a vessel for your communication of what you want to say this morning. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, when you think of forgiveness, you probably think first of all of what Jesus did upon the cross in dying for our sins and extending forgiveness to us in that way. And you may also think of something that is very challenging to do. Something that, you know, forces us to be humble and to lower ourselves in some ways, or to accept it, which is also sometimes just as hard too. But there's another facet of forgiveness that I want to bring out that comes from our first reading today, and it relates to our list that we made downstairs for our Lenten Supper. There's a facet of forgiveness that relates to the peculiar practices, the things that are unique about following Jesus that call us to the narrow way and follow him to the cross in a way that it shines a beacon upon Jesus and then leads others to him and to the church. And it leads some away from it as well, because it is challenging, as all his commands are. So, this is like a seed that's planted. Forgiveness is like a seed that's planted, and it lies dormant, sometimes for months, days, months, years, decades. And then eventually, when the timing is right, it grows and blooms. In our first reading today, Stephen's forgiveness seems to be this kind of seed for Saul. We know who Saul is. That's his old name. He's the same as Paul, who we know so well. And what happened before this chapter is Stephen is arrested, basically for being a salty Christian. He's out there spreading the word about Jesus. He's refusing to stop doing it. And so he's arrested for those activities. And after he's arrested, he's allowed a moment to speak. And he gives this powerful testimony. It's actually a really long testimony. It's 52 verses throughout the whole chapter 7 of Acts, right? Chapter 6, sorry, right before ours today and into 7. And he recalls the patriarchs. Moses and Abraham and Joseph and David and Solomon. And he goes through kind of all of that. And then kind of his big point at the very end, which is really offensive to his listeners, is that they are stiff-necked people who rejected the prophets and missed the Messiah and his coming. And at this, and this is 7:54 from our reading today, right before our reading, they're filled with rage at this testimony that Stephen gives that confronts the hearts of the listeners. And a number of things happen here that go into planting this seed for Saul. Well, they grab Stephen and they take him outside the city to stone him. And it says that they laid their garments, their outer garments, their coats, basically, at the feet of a man named Saul. And so we know that Saul was there. We know that Saul heard that sermon that probably offended everybody else. And we know that Saul was in charge of this event. That's why they laid their coats at his feet. And so then they go about stoning him. And this is probably what Saul is referring to when he mentions in other letters later on, after he's become a follower of Jesus, that he was a murderer. This may be what he's talking about here. He may not have physically committed murder, but he condoned it. And he presided over it. And even maybe, you know, encouraged it. And so this is a powerful passage for a lot of reasons, I think, in Saul's life. And then in 60, 59 and 60, Stephen says, "Receive my spirit." And then he says in verse 60, that was in 59, and then this is 60, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he said this, he died. Do you notice how Stephen's final words echo Christ upon the cross? "Receive my spirit," the same as Jesus said. And then his actions echo Christ too, of course, because he is offering forgiveness for those who are in the process. This is right during the process of being stoned to death. It would have been obviously a terrible death. The seed was planted through his words and his actions. One chapter from this, so in Acts chapter 9, is when Jesus strikes Saul to the ground blind, right? This is his Damascus Road experience. And he says, "Hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus reveals himself to be Jesus Christ. And Saul realizes at that moment that the very one he had been persecuting is the Messiah that God sent, right? And, you know, it never says this in the scripture, but I wonder if, I can't help but think it wasn't possible for Saul to have this moment with the presiding of Stephen's death heavy on his mind for a number of reasons. The way that Stephen mimicked Christ in his words, you know, "Receive my spirit," and then his actions of forgiveness even as it happened. What a powerful testimony of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of Saul, who had just done this. It is, you know, "Forgive them not for this." It's almost like he's talking to Saul. "Forgive them not for this sin. They don't know what they're doing." Now, a chapter later, Saul knows. And Saul knows what he is doing. So this seed is germinating. This seed of forgiveness that was sown is germinating in Saul's life. And it's starting to bear fruit. We'll talk later about all the fruit that bore. But I think it gives us another insight too. As we think about our own times, obviously not many of us have been in Stephen's shoes of being stoned. But we certainly have been, all of us have been in his shoes for being persecuted wrongly in some way or another in our lives. And we go back to that Romans 12, 19 that we've mentioned often, in which the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And so I think this insight that we get from the first reading today, one of the many, of course, is that we don't really know all that's going on behind the scenes in these moments. You know, like Saul and the others, all we can feel is probably rage, right? I think we can identify more with that group than we can with Stephen, who's able to forgive as the stones are coming in, right? It's a really challenging scripture for us. But God can use our willingness to forgive for really powerful purposes, and not just small things. You know, because of Stephen's forgiveness, Saul becomes Paul and then witnesses the gospel to most of the ancient world. I mean, if you read the whole book of Acts, he's traveling around to all the places that were known at the time to share God's story of forgiveness and salvation. And then, of course, we know that he went on to write most of our New Testament and our Bible, Holy Bible. And all of these things stem, I think, from this, can be stemming from this seed of forgiveness that was planted at this moment with Stephen, given the juxtaposition of it in the text. you know, coming right before what happened to Saul on Damascus Road. And then, you know, and that's the kickboard. That's the springboard for his ministry. And something, like I said, that he recalled throughout his letters about, hey, I'm not even, if it's about being worthy, I'm not worthy. I was a murderer of God's own people and messengers. And so forgiveness with God's gracious touch has a really long reach into our lives, as we see in the life of Saul. And Stephen's story, you know, it's an insight about our own forgiveness too. I think it opens the door for God to do justice the way he wants to do it, to give it to him, like he says in Romans 12:19, and not to take it into our own hands. If you look at 7:55 from our passage this morning, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Do you notice what's different about that? Usually it talks about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And here he is standing at the right hand of God. Judges, when they pronounce their verdict, will stand to pronounce that, at least in this day. And so one of the things that may be happening here behind the scenes again, something that Stephen sees the others don't, is that judgment is being pronounced upon those who are stoning Stephen. Let's read on for other things. Let's look at 7:58. We've read this already. It says, then they dragged him out of the city, began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Usually when someone's being executed, stoned, or other things like that, they were stripped of their clothes. But in this sense, the ones that are the executioners are taking clothes off. So again, we see this reversal that the judgment is perhaps focused upon them instead of Stephen. And then finally in 60, of course, Stephen offers a confession. But it's not a confession of his sin, right? It's a confession of the ones who are stoning him. He confesses for them. And so again, we see that reversal a third time, that it's really the God's judgment upon those who are stoning him rather than upon Stephen, who is the one who's being stoned and executed. And so it's a really cool glimpse. You know, it's a vision that Stephen sees. We don't see that play out. The other people in the story don't see that. But I think if we can hold on in our own moments of bitterness and frustration and anger at those in our lives who have treated us wrongly, if we can know that there's things going on behind the scenes that we may not get a glimpse of, but that God is at work to do, to bring his justice in the way he wants to do it. And then sometimes later down the road, we get a vision of, like in Saul's life, the fruit of the seeds of forgiveness that were planted and are now growing and blooming. You know, I'm coaching Finn's Little League team, and they only have one umpire at the games. You know, they're hard to get as they are, and there's lots of games, and the umpire is only behind home plate. And so, you know, if there's a really close play at a first or a second, especially, or somewhere else, you can't see it very well. And so there's a lot of calls that are dropped, you know, and not necessarily right. As we were coming off the field yesterday, another coach joked with me, we got four outs that inning. And so anyways, there's this one kid on our team a couple weeks ago, Mason, little guy, probably our littlest guy. He's a kindergartner. He's a good hitter, though, and he gets the bat on the ball. And he hit the ball, and he took off running with all his might to first. And he got to first, stepped on the bag, and went on by like he's supposed to. and came back to get on the base, and I said, sorry, he called you out. He said, I wasn't out. And I said, I know, but that's what he called. And so he went back to the dugout. And then he got up later in the game, hit the ball again, came running, and the same thing happened. Just really a tight play, but they called him out again. And he went back to the dugout, and I looked over because I was coaching first base, and could see both times that he was safe, you know, because I was right there. But it wasn't my call to make. And I came over the fence and said, hey, Mason, you may have been called out, but we all know that you were safe. And that seemed to help him a little bit. And he went on with his game and you know, went on with his life, and it was okay. But I thought that story, you know, is a good one for us too. When we're cheated, or we're, you know, something is done to us that isn't just, and we know it, and it makes us, you know, emotional, right, and upset and angry, to know that God sees and God really knows what was right, and he's going to do his justice how he's doing it. And Stephen gives us a glimpse that there's things of justice happening up there. Jesus Christ is standing. What that verdict is or means, we don't know fully. But it's not gone unnoticed. And there's things at work for that. I want to share a poem with you that I came across in teaching my class at school. What's that? Yeah, it's on Braille. That would take me probably longer than I want to take to morning to read. I can do it, but it's not very fast. And so, one thing that happens before I read this, to give it some context, is, you know, when we choose not to do the same thing to those who have wronged us, right? We break that cycle. That cycle is broken. Because if we do something back, similar to the ones who've done something to us, it keeps going, right? And forgiveness helps break that cycle and set off on a new path. That's where new birth and new growth can come, where seeds can grow and things can happen. And there's a poem. It's called "I Grow a White Rose," and it's by a poet named Jose Marti. He says, "I grow a white rose in July as in January, for the true friend who offers his honest hand to me, and for the cruel person who rips out the heart that keeps me alive. Neither thistle nor weed do I grow. I grow the white rose." And so God can do great things with our willingness to forgive. We know that that willingness comes from him too. It's not of our own power or merit. So we pray that God help us in these times in which we are treated unjustly, to offer instead of the thistle and the weed a white rose. And then to trust God that he notices, that he sees, and that days or months or years or decades or millennia from that moment, that God is going to let that seed grow and bear fruit and lead to something good. Amen.